it somewhere I can find the damn thing. Ah, yeah, finally, that dank wasteland weed. No, 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 not like this, not like this! Rah!
Rah! In the not too distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Dave, just stack that live wire.
Ugh, what's that smell?
Hey guys, what's going on? Dave, what are you doing?
Cody, watch out, there's a Terra person!
Damn it, Dave, let me in! I don't want to be turned to poop!
No, hey, it's okay, guys. This is my future wife. Guys, this is Jenna. Jenna, these are the guys.
Hello, greetings.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, Jenna.
Hey, man, you guys scared me. I was getting high.
You have drugs?
Sorry, Mike. Maybe when you get to management. I should probably quit anyways. They keep making me think I've pissed myself.
Dave, I don't think that's all you did.
I realize I have a new release to sort.
Well, anyways, we were looking to rent a movie. I remember this one from the world that was, called The Beastmaster. You guys got it?
Where Rip Torn throws a baby off a pyramid? Hell yeah, we do! Let's just watch it now!
I'll make the popcorn!
Mike, I'm gonna need to go ahead and need your uniform.
We don't have uniforms. These are just my clothes.
This will go on your performance review.
Just give him your pants, man! Chad, cue up The Beastmaster!
Affirmative.
It was foretold by witches. It was conceived through sorcery. And it was to be destroyed by all that is evil. But the courage of one mortal saved it. And so, into an age of darkness, in a time of mysticism, sacrifice, and plunder, there came the only light. The Beastmaster. Born with the strength of a black tiger, the courage of an eagle, the power that made him more than any hero. More than any lover. He was lord and master over all beasts. He was the Beastmaster. Behold the wonder, the horror, the fantasy, the challenge of the one warrior they call the Beastmaster. Mark Singer is Dar. Tanya Roberts is Carrie. Rip Torn is Mayak. John Amos is Seth. Together they take us on a fascinating journey back into unexplored times. conquer your fears. Face the unknown. And discover the incredible link between man, animal, and all that is phantasmagorical. In the world of Dungeons, Dragons, and Dar. The Beastmaster. The epic adventure of a new kind of hero.
One size fits all my ass. All right, well, I'm your host, David Snyder, Apocalypse Video. I'm joined again by Ryan Caldwell.
Hello.
Michael Althaus.
Hello.
Returning to the store from the wastes, Cody Eastlick.
Hello. Hail. Well met.
And your soon-to-be Terra person wife, Jenna. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes. Greetings. In our language, it is Jenna.
You got to put some real mustard on the nah.
Jenna!
Jenna! Jenna! Nice to meet your acquaintance!
You have a lovely home!
All right, Beastmaster. So who all here hadn't seen this before we watched it in the store just now?
I had seen it before.
This was my first time.
I had seen it only once before, and after watching it with you guys, I think this is a movie that greatly benefits from watching with friends, because watching this by myself, I don't know, maybe I was just in a different mindset, but I remember like not liking it and really zeroing in on the blatant Conan ripoffs to the point where I was like, fuck you, Beastmaster. But as I said, watching this with friends now and Cody's soon-to-be Terra wife, I kind of liked it. I'm not going to lie. It was fun.
I watched it by myself, and I loved it. I don't know. I mean, I didn't love it, but I liked it. I don't know. I thought it was great. Good-ass time.
It was the same year as Conan, right? Like, I feel like it's not fair to say no, this is quite a ripoff.
I think Beastmaster came out after Conan.
Well, it was the same year, but I'm not sure which one technically came out first.
Oh, wow.
I got to imagine, if it's the same year, then either there was some sort of industrial espionage going on, or they just like were somehow able to cobble this movie together after just watching Conan. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, so
I'm not the only one, right? There were blatant Conan like similarities.
Oh, I mean, they even had the pyramid.
Yeah,
the pyramid. Yeah, exactly.
You've seen Conan, Jenna?
Yes. I think I always shied away from this movie because it's like we're seen as beasts and I don't have a master. But Conan, obviously, I mean, big beefy dude. What's not to love? But that being said, Beastmaster is a true hero because he's there for the beasts, not trying to control the beasts.
I was a little, I mean, his attitude towards, what's her face, slave girl.
Kiri.
Does she have a name?
She has a name.
Kiri, I forgot. I'm sorry. I'm bad with fantasy names. I'm sorry. He was a little bit just like, let me use my my black, unfortunately right. spray-painted tiger to...
Put some respect on the name, David. It's Ruh.
Or a grunt. I thought it was a grunt at first. We had to turn out the subtitles just so I could figure out the names in this, and I still can't remember them.
Is that funny? Because no, I thought it was Ruh!
But, I mean... The clear ripoff aside.
So real quick, like, I just typed it into the old Chad Internet Movie Database, and the Beastmaster came out August 20th, 1982. Conan the Barbarian came out May 13th or something, 1982. So they could have put this movie together in 3 months.
Well, I don't know,
but I don't know.
I mean, this had an $8 million budget. Looking at the trivia, which I don't know if that's more or less than Conan, but. That's a big set. Here's the thing. I don't know. I was about to say that's a big set, the pyramid, but also I made a point during the movie to say, wow, this kingdom looks like shit. It is a very bad kingdom. Like, as far as fantasy movies go, like, it looks like it's
what about
just
the
cheap.
Stilt Village?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, that was awesome.
That
was rad. Yeah. We can't say what was the point of that, though.
Of the village on the stilts.
There was no point of it.
All right, no. We will get to the Stilt Village because I have questions about that. But before we get into the...
It doesn't make any sense.
Ryan, that thought occurred to me too. I was like, oh, that's why they're on stilts, so the Jun on horseback can't reach them. They can like go up and hide. But then we see what the Jun do when they get there, and it's burned down the stilts.
It just makes them like incredibly like vulnerable to like any sort of like. You just start burning the stilts, and now the stuff is like falling down. It's poor engineering.
It doesn't mean that it worked. It just that's what they're for.
That's why. That's why we build our houses into rock crevices. No one's burning that shit down.
Smart.
Well, before we get into the insane details of Beastmaster, just in case anyone listening hasn't seen this classic of fantasy sci-fi.
Why even include that? There is no science in this.
Our own Beastmaster, Cody, why don't you explain the plot of the Beastmaster?
Sure. All right. So, in the kingdom of Uruk, obviously, there is an evil priest named Mayax, and he and his coven of witches discover a prophecy in which the king's unborn son will slay Mayax. And so, as all good prophecies are, they spur them to begin the actions that will lead to its fulfillment. Mayax sends some witches to take the unborn baby, and they
which is right down the street,
just
by
down
the
street,
not far from the castle,
just down the street.
It looked like it was in the castle to me. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's pretty. I mean, the priest quarters. It seems like he's probably like the royal family's priest for a while. But, you know. Anyways, they transfer the baby into a cow.
As you do.
Take the cow out to
in
go
a really
sacrifice
awesome
it.
Looking scene.
And then a hero of a man rescues that baby. The baby grows up. He becomes a man named Dar. And he has the power to speak with the beasts. And after the Jun Horde attacks the Emirites, his people, they all are murdered. The Stilt Village. They are all murdered, and he is the last Emirite. And he goes off to claim vengeance against the Jun Horde. And while doing so, makes some animal best friends along the way.
And he falls in love.
He falls in love, ends up finding his way back to Uruk, his old kingdom, though he knows it not, and to fight and bring vengeance to Mayax. Yeah, that's basically the plot of the movie.
Can I read I have the DVD cover here. I just want to read like the first paragraph of the DVD description, if that's okay.
Oh,
a true fan.
Yeah.
True fan here.
It's just pretty great. It's
Ryan's a real beast head.
It says, admit it, you love the Beastmaster.
Yeah!
No matter how many times you've seen it, you can't get enough of its sword and sorcery, witches and wenches, and hot bodies, and outrageous action. Now experience it all like never before in this new Divimax special edition. You know, that's the
best.
Oh!
Yeah, that rules. Yeah.
They're like trying to talk the person into it. They're like, admit it, come on.
Come on, it's not trash.
Whoever happened to be looking at this.
You know you love it.
Whoever happened to be looking at this from the $5 Walmart bin. Yeah, maybe it's a Beastmaster night. I don't know.
I will say, Beastmaster was one of my favorite movies growing up. And it was definitely before I actually saw Conan the Barbarian, because
before you knew what awesome was,
right? Because you know, I've always been into sword and sorcery and stuff like that. And Beastmaster was one that would like actually play on TNT and stuff, like because there's a little bit of nudity and they could get around
a little bit.
I would even say a little bit, because there's only like a few scenes where it's clear like topless people.
Yeah,
otherwise,
a lot of butt.
There's a lot of butt,
there's
but that's
little
fine.
Boy butt.
I don't think that would be censored for TVs back in the
little
day.
Little boy butt.
You don't know what TV is. So you don't understand.
I guess.
Hey. She's a Tara person.
Don't you speak to my wife.
That, sorry.
He can't speak to me?
I will unleash the power of my robot hand on this table right now. Anyways.
Yeah.
No, the point is, I think it was one that could get more play than Conan the Barbarian could.
Well, technically, this was a PG movie, although it... I mean, all right, I think we've discussed this in the show before, the concept of 80s PG, which was very loose with the ratings. I mean, you get a lot of boobs. This had some surprising, like, violence, like people on fucking spikes and shit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think they're more concerned with curses, right? Like, PG-13 gets
one. Oh, that's
one
true.
F-word,
there wasn't any curses in this one, huh?
Exactly.
Well, it's a fantasy film. They don't have
a
curse words.
A fantasy film?
Yeah. They just say, like... R be damned.
Yeah. And I will say the violence is usually like not very gory. Like there's a lot of like implied gore, but we don't really see much.
There's like no blood.
It's the kind of thing where you're looking at something from a certain angle and it looks like he stabs a guy, yeah, but he probably just like
he's actually
a
lot of light.
Yeah.
I might dispute that it looks like he stabbed a guy, Dave, but
it looks, there's some fucked up shit though with like I don't know, born from a cow and stuff, and like
that was
There is some wild shit in
that
this
was
movie.
Like straight up alien stuff, yeah. Like when it starts like bulging,
it was like a Carpenter scene where you see the like the baby's foot in the womb, like yeah, pressing up against it,
yeah,
and those udders, right?
Yeah.
Did they make you hungry?
Oh yeah,
like, let me get some of that udder.
No. Like I don't know if the whole movie was that weird, but like that opening sequence is like, what am I watching? Like gnarly.
And what is up with Rip Torn's eyebrows?
That's how you know he's a wizard.
He made a whole career off those eyebrows.
It's the eyebrows.
Well, they definitely mess him up. They give him like a witch nose and stuff. Yes. And like, I think they pronounce his eyebrows more than they usually are.
Yeah, he looks like Gargamel or something.
Yes! Gargamel. Yes! He does. He looks just like Gargamel.
Now I'm asking, like, did they rip off Beastmaster for that? Like, for Smurfs?
I don't know.
Let me type
I think
it
Smurfs
in.
Came after this.
What is this Smurfs?
Explain.
Let's explain the Smurfs.
How does one explain the Smurfs to a Terra person? I don't know.
I don't know.
Little blue men with, I don't know, chef's
Once
hats?
Upon a time, there was a country wearing? Named France.
Actually, it's Belgian.
Is it really?
And yes, and the Smurfs came out in 1981. So,
Beastmaster once again just ripping shit off. Wow. Okay.
Well, Little Cody, you mentioned earlier that you watched it like, on TNT and stuff.
Yeah.
I was reading in a little bit about this, and they said at one point TNT proclaimed that it was the second movie that had the most ratings other than Gone with the Wind on TNT in 1993.
Oh my god! I'm so glad. And I'm so glad out. I knew it was TNT.
Wait, it had the most ratings?
Yeah, like the highest
people watched
that.
Oh, ratings. I was literally thinking like internet ratings.
Like most popular movies at the time. And then there was a point like where Beastmaster was like a joke for being on TV so much that even Dennis Miller in his stand-up said that HBO stands for, hey, Beastmaster's on. Like,
oh, fuck yeah. So that rules. See, that's what I'm talking about is I must have been like glued to the TV for the 2-3 years when this was on all the time because it really did like,
explains a
it
lot.
It very much established my aesthetic for a long time in life. Like, you know, the more I think back on it, it was probably what inspired me. When I first played Dungeons & Dragons in middle school, I played a ranger. Like, you're always like, how do I get an animal companion? How do I talk with them? How do I send them to do... You know, this probably is a very formative movie that I didn't realize until now.
I think this inspired you to, like, hot, sweaty, beefy men.
Well,
I think it's really inspired your clothing. Like, I feel like that you generally dress like the Beastmaster.
Yes, now that we finally exist in a world where it is accepted, my all-leather loincloth outfit is kind of my jam. Yeah, it's my preferred. But I do like a nice utilitarian satchel that I can carry my rats in.
What did you used to wear?
You used to have to wear, back in the world that was, you had to wear these terrible things called pants. And sometimes polos. Yeah, they're like awful collars, and the pants, you know, they like separate your legs and your balls stick to one side. It's terrible.
But then you can't see the butts in the dong.
Exactly. That's what that is. The Terror people get me.
Oh my god.
But yeah, so the Beastmaster fucking rules, and it was
it's a good primer for Conan, I think. Like,
yes.
If you're a kid, like this is a good lead up to Conan because obviously very similar. There's a lot of similarities.
And it's not nearly as like dark. You know, I mean, there's things in this that are dark. Like you talked about, Mike, you talked about not knowing if all of the movie was this fucked up as the cow birthing thing. But there was one other key fucked up scene in this movie.
Oh.
Well, actually, it's two, I guess. And it's when like the eagle people with the stomach wings first digest somebody.
That is fucked.
That was too weird to be fucked up. Like
that was like porn for me. You guys thought that was fucked up?
Well, I mean, you know.
Well, they weren't immediately recognizable as eagles to me. They just kind of looked like, I don't even know what to describe
them.
They
didn't
look like my grandma and grandpa.
I thought they were like,
right. Well, so the only reason I say eagle is because you'll remember in their little area, there was a big iron statue of an eagle.
Oh,
like,
right.
The outline.
And, that's the thing,
and then
in,
after
like, mm.
after Dar shows that he is best friends with an eagle, they give him an eagle medallion and say, ah, we game recognized game. You are also an Eagle Man.
I definitely have a branch of the family that looks like that. They live down south. You know, they don't get out much.
Yeah, well, it's tough to get out much when every time you run into somebody, you squeeze them against your body and digest them.
Oh, is that frowned upon?
A little bit.
Well, speaking of things that are frowned upon, what's your stance on headless soup or headless people soup? Human soup.
Head people soup.
Head people soup.
The soup was not headless. It was yeah. headed.
It had a great head on it. Are you asking me or
I'm
or
asking
Jenna?
Oh, it looked delicious.
Oh, boy. That... Okay.
It's interesting that they had a soup because I'm pretty sure they didn't have mouths. They probably just absorb it through their skin. Yeah. It's like, hey, it's my turn in the soup.
Yeah, that's a scene I'd like to see because we only ever see the eagle people opening up their fucking wingspan and like swallowing people up. Yeah. Presumably, one of those guys set up that stew with like the decapitated heads. I want to see that scene when they're all just sort of stirring it and like eating,
hanging
shit.
Out. So go ahead.
I was just thinking about you just saying that how this movie was like formative for you and stuff. And I was, while watching the movie and you're kind of introduced to Dar, you know, full grown Dar, and he's like, you know, hanging out with his animals, his dogs and stuff. And I'm like, oh man, what a cool guy. But then he can realize he's kind of a fucking dork, like swinging his sword around like, by himself. He's like the kid.
He's like
recess.
Star Wars kid on top of the mountain.
Yeah, he's like the kid
is
like by himself in recess
to care
running
about
around.
Animals.
Yeah, just like
it's very cool to care about animals. Though.
Oh yeah, he's so cool. But it was just so funny to think about it. Like he's just kind of like that dorky, nerdy kid that's like running around the
right.
playground.
I think you're right, though. I think. Like, there was something that kind of bothered me about him, especially comparing him to Conan. It's like, this is like the, like, stand up, like, take your daughter to prom Conan. Like, he's like the nice guy.
Yeah, Dar would come over and ask your permission to take your daughter to the dance.
Conan would just take her.
Conan would not take
her. I'm going to disagree with that. I think Dar would come over and, like, get his ferrets to, like, steal your underwear or something.
Yeah.
He's sleazy.
Actually, yeah,
he's
I think
pervy.
You're right. Dar's like the nerds. He's like the Lambda House in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
And Conan is Booger.
Dar's definitely the guy on the ladder outside your window peeping at you.
Except, I mean, even for the time period, that's more wholesome. All he did was kiss her.
I mean, forcibly.
And hey, it's clear the world is a different time and place because she flipped him over and was ready to wrestle fuck him right back. Like
it seemed like that scene when they meet kind of felt like a couple role playing in the woods or something. Like they were just like, he just like puts his face near her, like right away.
Yeah. Yeah, it rules.
I did like in that scene how the like, is it a panther? His like,
it's a tiger. It's a tiger. They call him a black tiger.
Black. I like how the tiger is just like so chill and just like, he's like trying to get him to act ferocious and he's just like hanging out like a big cat.
And I love that he's like his number one wingman. He's like, I love that literally these animals are Dar's best friends and like do things with him. And like, it's not like he controls them or mind controls them. He's just like, all right, hey, I'm going to do this. You do that. And they're like, all right. And they run off.
And you know what I will say for the 80s? To me, they did such a good job following that storyline. Like he says, I can't leave my young ones behind at the end when they were like, come with us. I was like, he's just going to leave his fucking ferrets. He's like, no, I can't leave my young ones behind. And he is constantly like thinking, where are they? Are they safe? I have to make sure. So I do think they did a good job like making it seem like, yes, these really are his best friend.
But to be honest, and when that moment happened in the end when they're trying to escape the castle, like I wouldn't have been surprised if he didn't say that. Honestly.
The most heartbreaking part of the movie, like that really did, like I think, land as some emotional impact was, spoilers, when one of the ferrets dies. Like that's like...
I mean, that's just a barbecue, right? It was a family barbecue.
You cruel terror.
Jenna, I thought you were more shook up by it when we were watching it, but I see you are a cold, tough heart.
We eat them.
Yeah. Yeah. Poto and Koto are two best friends, and you find out lovers.
Oh, that reminds me. Like, so Dar's. This is when I said during the movie that Dar is very. He's not very imaginative because his dog's name was Toto. So when he gets the.
Poto.
When he gets the two ferrets, he's like, I'll debut Koto. And you, let me think. Poto.
Now again,
I was surprised he came upon Ruh for the tiger. Obviously, well, it wasn't like Lodo or something shit like that.
Well, again, I don't understand how you don't get this, David. He's an Emirite, right? And the word the end of the suffix do means friend. So really, it's dog friend, ferret friend, and you know, and then other ferret friend.
Other
and
friend.
Ruh. Obviously, Ruh is a royal, majestic beast as a black tiger. He doesn't get a diminutive like a familiar friend. Name. He gets a power place. You know, he's just Ruh, not Rudo.
What was the eagle's name?
The eagle, I don't actually think is named in the movie. It's Chirac, I think.
Yeah. He was obviously the hero of the movie.
Well, he picks up that. I mean, I'm getting a little ahead of ourselves, but like when he picks up that kid at the sacrifice scene, and it quickly becomes like a dummy or a doll. But when he picks up that kid, I'm like, this is clearly a fantasy movie because there's no way that bird is picking up a full sized child.
Well, yeah, and not eating him.
And not,
what effect is it when it does that wide shot of the bird and like the kid like drawn on there?
I was looking for the wire when he was up against the moon. I was like, okay, where's that wire?
I like when he was flying against the moon and like he's not moving. Like he's just yeah,
it's rigid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It was good. So that was the moment for you, Dave, when you were like, I think this is a fantasy movie.
Dave's fantasy is those witches with the fucked up faces.
Yeah, let's get back to the beginning of the movie. So they find out that they discover this prophecy, Maylox. I keep calling him Maylox.
Mayax
and his witches. Like, there's a scene that's a little bit of a misdirect. You see them all looking into the cauldron or whatever, where they're seeing their visions, and you only see the witches from behind. Mm-hmm. And it looks like your standard, these sexy ladies or whatever. And then you get the reveal.
Yeah, they dance and they show off their asses.
They're kind of squirming or anything. Like at first I thought, like, is there going to be some sort of snake thing? Because they seem to be doing this, like, slither.
Right, movement. And you're already thinking Thulsa Doom and shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then they turn around and they just have, like, I don't know, bad...
They have, like, melted, they have melted faces.
They have some Halloween masks on. And to be honest, I was a little conflicted. I'm like, is this really... Bad? I don't know. I think I'm still attracted to these witches. I can see past the horrible mask.
You're just attracted to power, bro. I respect that.
Well, I just want to get my hands on one of those eyeball rings.
Yeah, you could be a real peeper with that. Now, if I just leave this ring in the bathroom right here,
I think I've realized I got a real dar myself.
we're all dar.
You can often find me in the break room, like, you know, brandishing one of those like long cardboard tubes, just like slinging it like a sword.
Wait, what was his little boomerang thing called?
His kappa.
Kappa.
Oh, that thing was neat.
Wasn't it? It's cool how it's a really cool ass weapon, and it's kind of funny, not funny. It's just a little disappointing that they use it multiple times in the beginning. His dad uses it to kill the witch, you know, and then it's like halfway through the movie it disappears, and it's like, oh, let's just keep him using the sword. It's like, fuck the sword, dude.
The sword isn't interesting.
It's really not interesting.
Yeah, well, it's not a magic sword. It's just a sword that he got from his dad.
What is interesting is that his sword is a scimitar. Which in Dungeons and Dragons is one of the only swords that a druid can use is a scimitar, because druids cannot use metal, and druids, as we all know, are also friends to animals and can turn into them and talk with them. So I think Dar's a bit of a druid.
His name does start with D. It's a bit of a Krull situation with that.
The glaive in Krull.
Mm-hmm. Well, this came out a year before. I feel this came out a year before Krull, so I'm thinking maybe Krull saw this and thought we can do better,
and then they totally did not. Like, we could do better. Actually, just forget about it. Forget about it.
And they're like, well, let's keep the theme of not using the really cool weapon. Yeah. We like that.
Yeah, disappointing.
That's a story for another time, listeners.
Have we talked
the story
about
of Krull.
How shiny Seth is?
Oh, Seth.
We haven't even gotten to Seth.
About Seth yet. I thought you were talking about Dar. Dar is shiny as fuck.
Yeah, he's shiny, but then you see how shiny Seth is. I feel like he's really the shiniest. He was the one that I was having to like shield my eyes for some of it. Like,
well, that was also because of the beauty, right?
Oh yeah, I mean the thighs and like the little bits of butt we see.
Did they ever say unless I missed it, the relationship between him and that kid?
He's no, the trainer. Yeah, he's, like, so, he's just like the that's the kid who's the prince, and he's
is he
Seth
like the
is
Piccolo
like
the, to the Gohan kind of situation.
Yes,
yes, that is exactly what it's like, Ryan. So we see Seth in the beginning of the movie. He's one of the king's guards, and then when we meet him later, he's out and about with Tal, and it seems to be the suggestion is he's the Batman to Tal's Robin. You know, he's like, hey, I had to get him out of
I think
out
he's
of
the
Dodge.
Alfred.
He's the Alfred, okay, but Alfred who's like jacked.
Yeah. He's just so naked, well, that kid.
I think Piccolo-Gohan is the relationship. Naked. I mean, the shit's gone down, like the Saiyans are arrived, and Piccolo's taking Gohan away to like, hey, we're going to train up, and you're going to come back and take over there.
Right, and the whole idea is like, yeah, we're taking you, Tal, him and Tal are going around to try and raise an army. So it seems like he's kind of his Lord Protector. But I know why you're asking this, Ryan, because the first time we meet them, and the way he says, we're, and he like holds on to him closely.
Yeah.
Traveling companions.
Is he touching him?
Jana, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what Jana said. Jana, what did you say exactly?
They're looking knowingly at each other. He's not touching him.
I think he did touch him.
You said they look like lovers.
They kind of do. I'm not going
to lie. Everything goes in the Terra people world.
It's a little rough.
You don't have our taboos.
Tough look for
what
our
I was thinking was... Tal is like, what, 13 and Dar?
That's generous.
Dar is like 20. It's like, who was fucking the king while he was stuck in the pyramid?
Dar is for sure about 38. Like, Dar looks old as fuck.
But it's like, where did Tal come from? Because he's like, you're the king's son. It's like, who was banging the king when he was.
Well, it's kind of a Rise of Skywalker situation. Like, so presumably, so. Mayax.
Why do you add an L?
Mayax. Mayax keeps. Mayax. Is that right?
Mayax. Mayax. A-X.
Sorry. I keep wanting to say Maylox. Mayax is keeping the king alive because he wants to be sure to kill the son, right?
Yes, and also because their god, wants child sacrifices.
Okay.
So the longer the king's around, making royal babies. He's offering them up to R.
Okay.
It's good.
They have to specifically be royal babies.
They don't have to be. It's just, you know, it's a nice thing. Like,
oh.
They were sacrificing kids from the crowd. Yeah. But it was like...
So why keep the king alive?
Just to keep sacrificing royal babies. Like,
well, that's what I was saying. It doesn't have to
be. It doesn't
royal
have
babies.
To be. It's just nice. It's like, okay, hey, Dave, you can eat a pancake every day. And that's good for you. That's great.
It just feels
but
really
sometimes
good.
You get a pancake with like fruit on it or pancake with... chocolate chips, and it's like, hey, just as good, but a little bit better because it's got this extra
kick to
it.
You'd rather sacrifice a Rudy Tootie pancake than a regular old buttermilk.
If you have the opportunity sometimes, yeah.
I'd like to see the movie of the adventures of Seth and Tal. That's what I want. That's what the Terra people want.
Are you going to start a Twitter campaign?
What is Twitter? Tweeting like birds?
I believe Twitter's is what
the Terra people Twitter is called. Squaw!
Squawk is our dating site.
You're on a dating site?
I'm not, but you know, I got family.
Interesting.
What's your relationship status? Why is your profile active?
Okay. Hey, I had a life before you, Cody.
And I moving on.
Yeah, like so, we meet Seth and Tal, and then I guess the adventure kind of becomes at this point like we got to save Kiri, the slave girl, played by Tanya Roberts, who is in probably, arguably one of the worst James Bond movies ever, View to a Kill. I don't think it's one of the worst. It's known as one of the worst, but. And I have talked about View to a Kill elsewhere on other apocalyptic podcasts, but Tanya Roberts in that movie is, I think, probably the worst Bond girl.
Oh, wow.
It's not Beastmaster, Dave. It's not a Bond.
However, I was saying, however, in this movie, I think she's okay. Like for what her role is, I think she's okay. It was refreshing to see her in like a I hesitate to say good role, but a better role. Like she wasn't bad in this movie, I didn't think.
I didn't think so. I thought she was pretty good. I think everyone's like pretty good. Like there's
for what this movie's asking, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone knows what this is.
Yes. Yeah. No one has any illusions that it's anything else.
Like, Rip Torn isn't, like, thinking this is Shakespeare or something. He knows what kind of
I feel like Rip Torn isn't even hamming it up as much as he could be. You know, like,
yeah.
We've seen what Rip Torn is capable of. And this This barely scratches the surface.
They're not hosting an intergalactic kegger in this movie.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger. Fuck me. Fuck me. Get on over here and fuck me.
What movie is that from?
Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, yeah. I was like, was that in a Men in Black sequel that I didn't see?
What's the name of the god that he's sacrificing stuff to?
R.
R.
A-R.
That's a dumb name.
There's a lot of R names and GR
names. Kind
of
like Dar.
Yeah. Yeah, Dar. R.
I kind of got the sense that the names in this movie were kind of lazy. Like, it's just like, what kind of generic... What kind of generic fantasy names can we come up with? Dar.
Dar.
Dar is also, like, one of the dumbest names for a lead character.
Well, the best line in the
movie. You guys are all wrong.
Oh, dude, no, wait. The best line in the, I mean, I love it because it's so bad. The best line in the movie is when he says his name.
Who are you?
I'm Dar.
He has such a weird
name. It sounds like he's, like, having a stroke. Like, my name is Dar.
I will also speak to the unoriginality of the movie in that the horde is called the Juns instead of the Huns. You know, it's, there's some really simple stuff here, which is fine. It's a simple movie. It's a simple movie, the heart of which is, hey, I know a guy who has some trained animals. Let's put them in a movie.
Oh, yeah. Here's something. I thought, speaking of the animals, which I guess is kind of the stunning selling point in the movie, Beastmaster, I was surprised at how well trained that tiger was. Like, he's just Dar's just walking
it's
up to him, patting him. I'm like,
thing with that tiger walking around.
It is. I was thinking like
no
the whole
CGI,
time. I'm
this
like,
is a real tiger.
Did someone die? Like, did they edit out? Like, have to like, how many like stunt people were like maimed
how many
or mauled
were
in this
killed
movie?
Like
this
a a chunk of the movie was like reshot because the tiger kept eating everyone.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, just he's so chummy with that tiger. He's literally walking up next to him and patting him. Like, that tiger is next to every. It's not like a thing where it's like, oh, I can tell they like edited around the tiger. No, that tiger is in every fucking shot.
Yeah, that tiger's in
people.
It. And like crowd scenes too, like walking around.
Yeah.
Like,
fucked up. So scary.
Guys, I don't know. Real rules, man. He's a professional. He's a total pro.
I kept waiting for him to eat the
ferrets.
The ferrets and
oh,
the eagle.
Dude.
I was
remember
like,
when the ferret and him kiss, like they touch noses, and you're like, I can't believe this is happening.
I know.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah,
are
like
you that, eat
it's definitely
him,
one of those things. Like, oh yeah, behind the scenes, they had to go through like 10 ferrets to make this.
Yeah, they had to fill it up first before it finally kissed.
Yeah, the panther and the ferrets kiss, and they're the proud parents of the little baby ferrets, the LBFs. You know.
They definitely imply that the ferrets are the product of both the ferret and the tiger.
Yeah, the new ones.
Definitely implied, yes.
I think it is, basically.
What? So Dar's like actually like some sort of weird fucked up Pokemon trainer. He's like, if I mix the ferret with the lion, I will get the strength and the cunning in one blow.
Pokemon trainer or Dr. Moreau?
It is like
dude,
a Pokemon trainer.
Speaking of which, I love...
It's so funny.
I love that scene where he's explaining his animals, like, ah, these are my thieves. They are cunning. Or no, they say, these are my cunning. This is my strength.
He says,
these are my eyes.
He says, I have my eyes, my cunning, and now my strength.
And his pecs. He is so glistening in this movie. Like, you mentioned Seth being shiny. Like, with the exception of Mayax, everyone in this movie is shiny. They oil everyone down.
I don't think Tommy Roberts was nearly as shiny.
You're right. Yeah, his dad's hairy. That's
his dad is, like, oddly schlubby for, like, I think what they're going for. But yeah, there's a lot of shine.
What?
Dave said something about him doing squats.
Oh, dude, it was Dar, man. Squats for days. Like that moment where I can't remember.
It's in the village. Dar like gets surprised and then he goes into attack stance against his dad. And his legs are really sprayed like in a karate stance. They're really wide and he like squats down.
I'm like, I want to see that guy do squats. It's probably impressive. And it's worth noting, like if you haven't seen Beastmaster, Dar, played by Mark Singer, he's no Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's not beefy in that sense. It's like a toned.
He's like a swimmer body.
Yeah, a very muscular swimmer body.
Very muscular swimmer body. He's slim.
Yeah, but like there are times when just like I like especially at the end in the climax when they're fighting the Jun, they come in and attack and they have that moment where I presumably the creators of Game of Thrones ripped this off, the tar pit surrounding the castle and they blow it up and then the people come and fight. There's a moment where like the lighting is like, I swear to God, they're like, we got to make this guy pop. Let's oil the fuck out of this guy. Let's get him next to the fire. I mean, it's like, it's a well-shot scene, but I couldn't help but notice, like, goddamn, he is glistening. Like, this is out of all the, like, fantasy movies
I've
ever
seen.
Are you
saying that's a bad thing?
No, this is a good thing. I'm saying out of all the fantasy things movies I've ever seen, this is a really weird thing to harp on, but out of all the fantasy movies I've ever seen, like, this is, like, the shiniest I've ever seen our heroes.
I'm going to say this probably as good as time
and
as
I
need
love
to say it.
It.
I've never seen Conan the Barbarian. Is he not, like, do they not glisten Arnold up in that movie?
No, he shines, but he also, like, wears clothes and wears armor at certain points. Like,
why?
Because it looks badass is why.
There's better. A moment in this movie that, again, mirrors Conan the Barbarian, where he's like, I'll sneak into the village by wearing this robe or whatever.
Wearing a cloak,
and
yeah.
The thing is, Dar can do that convincingly because Dar is a slimmed down.
He's not
kind
nearly
of frame.
As wide.
He's
as
not
Arnold.
As wide. When Arnold Schwarzenegger tries to do this, his arms are literally like busting out at the sides. He is like bulging out, and it was definitely something I laughed at because it. Again, there's so many similarities between this and Conan. I couldn't help but notice that, and it made me laugh that he actually could blend into a crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dar at the end of the day looks like a human. Like a human
yes.
being.
Where Dar Conan is still made of man flesh.
Does
yeah.
look like a demigod.
Conan yeah. was grown in a lab.
No, he was actually created on the fucking Wheel of Woe or whatever. Actually, no, it's not the Wheel of Woe, but the Wheel.
Zeus came down and had sex with a Bowflex and.
Oh, man. I got to get on that diet, the Wheel of Woe diet.
Yeah,
the exercise plan.
What do you think Dar's diet was? We didn't really see him eating anything. It didn't look like...
That's what I said.
I think Dar eats people.
We were talking about that. Like, what do people even eat, really? Because it's presumably this whole movie is set in a desert.
Well, so
I'm going
to
assume,
Emirates...
too, like, if you can talk to beasts in the way that he does or communicate with them, you're probably going to be, like, vegetarian. Like, it seems
definitely.
Like it'd be hard
yeah.
to eat your friends.
I think, so the Emirates, we see them and they are a farming people. We see that they go out to like...
Do they farm protein powder? Is
no,
that
they farm vegetables and stuff like that, David. Come on, man.
Oh, God, the farming. There's a scene where we see him farming and I was just like staring at one of them doing like the miming the farming in the background. It's pretty great. I would recommend looking at it. He's just like poking hay like for like a long time. It's pretty
it's
good.
It's kind of funny because all the warriors are out farming when they get... you know, swarmed by that horde or whatever. And
well, that's because they're not warriors. They're just naturally built by farming. They're just big dudes, you know?
Yeah. They're all the guys like running are like the fucking, you know, the Olympic swim team is running to go and stop them because no one's there to help the poor.
Yeah. And Dar's dad is just like drinking like coconut alcohol in a mug, like standing with his gut out.
But he does do a cool thing where him and his buddies block the gates and he draws the line across the
dirt. Yeah, he
draws
the line
and immediately gets knocked
down.
It does nothing.
Yeah, listen, again, the movie's not good. But if you made that movie today, if you made that movie before the apocalypse, it would look like he'd draw that line and he would at least take out one guy. You know what I mean?
I'm surprised he didn't take out one guy. Yeah.
Well, Dar's dad is a bit of a loaf. But
like, once again,
Dar's dad killed a witch.
Once again,
like,
I feel
we
like
saw that.
Yeah, Conan is the next step. Conan is like accelerated fantasy epic. This is like intermediate or beginning fantasy epic. Well, like in Conan, he fucking takes some people out in the beginning. Conan's dad.
Yeah.
Cody, you were talking about what they eat. I didn't mean to derail that, but
no, you... it's I think we covered it. You know, they're farmers, so they probably eat produce and they probably do hunt. And Dar probably doesn't feel good about eating.
He's the
animals.
One vegan in the whole.
Yeah, they probably all make fun of him, but he's like, look at my bod. Like you can't argue with the results.
I bet he's not vegan. I could see him like lovingly milking a cow. You know, and the cow's
yeah.
like, yeah, I'm
yeah,
cool with this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we're good.
That's true. You're right. He's
do
not.
You think him and the cow role play too?
Don't be gross about this, Dave.
You said what my face was.
What would the cow
at?
Represent? So he's got his cunning, he's got his strength. What do you think the cow represents for Dar?
Endurance.
Yeah.
His digestive tract with four stomachs.
It's his strong
mother.
Gut. He has like
oh yeah, it's actually
his
mom.
His
That's right.
Yeah.
What is a vegan? What's a vegan?
Oh, so in the world that was, vegans were people who didn't eat anything that was like made out of animals or animal byproducts. They just ate grain and stuff like that.
Oh, we refer to those as lettuce.
Mm, interesting. Yes. Yes. They're probably, salad. Yeah, if you ever come across them, that's probably a very delicious treat for you.
Delicious. Grass fed, you know? You know, it's something that you have to force your children to eat. Eat your lettuce. Eat your, I guess, vegans.
They're really good with like a nice braise. That's probably the best way to bring out the flavor.
I would also posit that I bet Dar does eat people, because I think if Ra eats people and the hawk definitely eats meat and stuff, I bet Dar's like, I am your friend. I will eat it with you.
We know the eagle people certainly eat people.
Certainly eat people.
Is that bad?
Depends on the person, I think. Like,
it's frowned upon in some circles.
Yeah. But, you know, it's also, in our current society, it's just...
Listen, when I go to Bartertown and I get the meat special, who knows? You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're not asking questions about where your meat's coming from.
Well, speaking of the sort of the violence in this movie, like one thing that really caught my attention was the child sacrifice. Can we talk about the child sacrifice in this movie?
Yes.
There's a scene when Mayax lifts, and what I love is he literally lifts this kid above his shoulders, rip torn, and literally just tosses him into this fire pit.
Screaming.
And honestly, I was like, that's kind of cool. I wasn't horrified. I was like, that's pretty fucking metal.
They went for it.
Oh yeah, into a fire PG movie. I'll say this: Conan didn't have that.
Conan had slave children taken off to the wheel, but yeah, I don't think there was any kids being sacrificed. Alas.
Well, sounds like Dave. Maybe you could come to the next family barbecue then. If that's what you're into.
Do you sacrifice children at Terra Cave Land?
Maybe we just call them food. Veal.
Is Dave going to be safe at the Terra cookout? I feel like people might be salivating at him.
Not with what he eats. Not with his diet. They're not going to want to eat.
Yeah, we don't like weed so much, so, you know.
Weed and Taco Bell diet.
Yeah. It ruins, go the, down the, meat's well. Pretty, it ruins the taste of the meat.
It's pretty funky. Gone.
It's pretty jolted with live wire.
Amy.
Well, was there anything that you guys really enjoyed about this movie? Like anything that stuck out as, for me, it was the child murder.
I think the Jun were really badass.
You enjoyed
badass.
That?
At were the they? End, yeah, the Jun were pretty cool.
Oh, I have a question about the Jun. So every time we see them, there's like a lead up to the Jun. Like you see them off in the distance, and what looks like
it's a dust cloud.
Special effect cloud.
It's a dust cloud because they're horses.
Is that what it was supposed to? I didn't understand what was going on there.
Yeah. That's what I figured magic. It was, but it looks so bad. I'm like, what are they trying to do?
They're trying to get across that there's a big dust cloud being generated by all the horses, so you know a horde of horsemen are coming.
Okay.
Hence the Jun. Okay. Yeah, guys, come on.
It just looked really bad.
This is why I can survive in the waste. I recognize these signs.
Yeah.
I would be the guy that takes out his sword and draws like a 6-inch line.
like, come on, you're not coming here. don't you cross this, though.
I thought it was cool when the Jun showed up in the beginning. The Still Village, you know, two things I thought were surprising. One, the houses exploded after the fire got to them, which is pretty neat. I'm guessing I was trying to think like why they would explode, and my guess is they're all just like boozing up, and there's a lot of like distilled.
I was gonna say there's a lot. It's just stored of booze.
It's coconut.
The coconut booze. The other thing I thought it was, we do see like one moment where the villagers do something cool where they like get the rope across the stilts and like catch the Jun horde across the neck and they fall down. That was neat. You know, they did, they got some good punches in there.
Yes,
I liked. I was surprised, and this is something I was surprised about watching it, was that like there's a lot of toward the beginning, middle of just like there's no dialogue. It's just like him with the animals and like doing things. It's like the silent film kind of thing. And I don't know. I thought that was cool
was
and like
silent.
Really well done. And I was like engaged. I was surprised by this movie. I thought it'd be a little bit. I mean, it's probably a little long, but like I love that like just like. For some reason that it has time to do this in this movie instead of just like straight to the next thing, you know, to hang out.
Yeah.
With him
I kind of took it like as his morning routine, his workout. I'm going to swing my sword, practice my swordmanship on top of this mountain and scream. Like he screams for no reason. Like, oh,
I mean, you would too, if you were doing that, you'd be so good. You're just like, ah, I'm ready. Speaking to that point, Ryan, that this movie is a little long, but it takes the time for those things. It is interesting that it does that, and then you know the climax of this movie is them breaking in and escaping from the pyramid like twice, yeah, kind of
then
thing.
Going back
like,
again,
yeah, it's kind of weird, right? It's yeah. like, oh, we gotta rescue the king. Then they leave, and the king is a total shithead.
Oh,
and
yeah.
he's like, "Fuck you, Dar! I don't need you, you coward!" It's like
he makes Dar cry.
Yes, yes, he makes Dar cry because Dar is a soft nerd boy.
He calls
and
Dar
it's like,
a freak.
And Dar doesn't even know that he's his dad, and he doesn't know that he's his son, and it's just like, this guy, I just, the audacity of this blind shithead king to be like, oh, the guy who saved me? Fuck him, we don't need him.
Immediately,
he's,
too.
And he's a coward. You're
I'll
like,
suffer
yeah.
no cowards.
Yeah, I wish yeah. Dar just like, fucking let Ra eat him right then. Just be like, hey, okay, hey, try and stop this tiger from eating you. You worthless piece of shit.
Oh, maybe I'll have my eagle claw at your eyes. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait, you don't have any, you blind old man. And that's, you know, that's the thing, the symbolism, right, that the king is blind. He can't see the future. He can't see the way forward. He is stuck in the past, and that is why he must be sacrificed by Mayax atop the ziggurat.
I'm glad that he dies at the end.
Me too.
Fuck
that was
him.
The best part. That was the best part. And all the hot bods. All the hot, all the hot tasty bods.
Mm. What?
You're just licking your lips the whole movie, like. Mm, yeah.
Well, we don't have lips, but.
Oh, sorry, your beaks.
God,
I'm still adapting to your culture, and I apologize.
Those are like, yeah, the eagle, weird eagle people monsters. Is that pretty mm-hmm. much what the Terror people kind of look like? And they're kind of their barbecues. Are they sort of like that?
No, those are like the hillbilly Terror.
Oh, okay.
Those are
yeah,
my
you're
back,
saying from the south.
Backwater cousins.
They kind of, Ryan, if you have an idea, it's like, you know how back in the world that was when people did a lot of chewing tobacco, sometimes they'd have to lose their jaw, you know, like that was it, kind of their faces were changed by it. Mm. That's what those ones look like. Okay. The you know, Terror people have a much fuller beak. I'm sure you've seen them, maybe not up close, but as you can yeah. see her now, she looks, you know, just like
beautiful.
Do you remember Sauron from the X-Men animated series?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, as you know, she looks just like that, as you can see with your eyes in front of you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see it now.
Cool.
Yeah, the lights were still down from the movie. Why have we been doing this in the dark?
It's the
stupid.
Yeah. Keep people think we're closed if we have the lights off. They don't pop.
You know, maybe that's the reason we don't get more customers. We always have the lights off. We should turn that shit on once in a while.
Man. I'm trying to think what else I really dug. I don't know. I was just surprised by it. And it's funny. It's crazy to see it was so, like, it did so well on TV. And I have a feeling, and it mentions it in the Chattopedia, that, like, you can kind of jump in it. There's a lot of like little kind of vignettes within the movie. So it's like kind of easy to like figure out what's going on. Maybe it's almost like it was designed for TV. Like the movie is in a weird way.
Well, I'm looking. Yeah. It costs $8 billion. No, it did not cost $8
billion.
They spent it all on the tiger.
It cost $8 million to make and only made $14 million worldwide. So this was definitely a movie that got its second leg on TV.
Because there's two sequels to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is
so
which, to be honest,
he's ready for the rest.
I kind of want to see
you. You probably should.
Yeah, we just become a Beastmaster podcast for a little bit. There's a TV show afterwards.
See, you can't get to Conan before you got to go through all the Beastmasters first before you work your way up to Conan.
Okay, I don't know what to say to that. Yeah, all right.
I'm trying to see what else.
It's tough because it feels like Beastmaster, like it, you know, it almost feels like we don't have too much to say because it's all like, yeah, we all kind of enjoyed it. And it's like, it's just a little silly.
Well,
because
there's not too much story.
Right, because it's kind of slow.
It's, yeah.
It's just like, so there's animals and it's crazy.
Well,
and
I think, Ryan, you put
people.
It well, put it best. It's mostly just a series of vignettes, like little like scenes that play out.
Yeah, there's definitely easy commercial breaks in this movie.
As
like, a
whole,
lot of
like, he's, yeah, because the structure of it's like, we got to get to the castle. All right, we're gone for the castle. All right, we got to get back to the castle again. It's just like, it's, you know, it's kind of like Black Cauldron in that sense.
Here it is again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I
think it would have been, yeah, if it was maybe a little tighter, it'd be like, this is surprisingly a pretty good little gem, this movie. It's goofy. And
I think if we're talking about like potential negatives, for me, the biggest problem is I think the the like editing and the action scenes is like, it's really hard to follow some of the stuff of like kind of what's going on. I wish there was a little more just like, let it happen, you know, let us see the action.
I was let down by the climax, to be honest. With the, I mean, the fire, the setting was cool, but like the action when they're just sort of getting tossed around and the horses are riding to and fro.
Yeah.
It was a kind of a letdown, to be honest.
I was getting, I hardly ever do this in movies, but I was getting a little sleepy.
Well, it's kind of a trade-off. Like, I really like the setting of the climax where they have the tar and it blows up. It's really mm-hmm. it's really impressive, actually. Like, when it blows up, like, you could tell, like...
It's like, there's all their money. It's like, there's $2 million
all
right
their
there.
Money. But also, again, like, similar case with the tiger, I was afraid for the actors' lives.
Oh, yeah.
Because you see them, it's clear that they're next to a giant explosion, and, like, whoever the stuntman was who played Dar, I was like, goddamn, dude, like, I hope they covered you with fire retardant oil or some shit, because that looks dangerous. But... The setting aside, like I kind of wish that the Jund had just come at the pyramid scene to get the king the first time. Like I wish, like, because there's that moment when they're running up, you know, Seth and Tal, like, let's go, we fight, you know, yeah. And they run up the thing to get Mayax. I'm like, that should have been the climax.
And they like
Mayax.
Kill the main bad guy, and the movie keeps going.
And it yeah. kind of keeps going. Like, it should have been the climax there. The Jund should have just come. The people could have been like, well, we rebel, we fight.
Well,
it could
and
have
it's,
been this big thing.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like, for the audience, we know that Mayax is the big bad
yeah.
that Dar should revenge himself upon.
Yeah.
But Dar is looking for revenge against the Jund, not
That's
Mayax.
True.
So
yeah.
for the character Dar, the ultimate climax is the fight against the Jund and to kill their leader. For the audience, we're like, we saw Rip Torn. He's the one who started all
it
this.
It is funny because Rip Torn does happen to be there. When
yes.
When he's just there for some reason when they
storm. He rides in
the
like Tulsa
Doom
and it makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, I asked, I said, what is the connection exactly between the Jund and these R-worship people? And you said that you thought that...
You being me, she's referring to me.
Cody.
Mm-hmm.
But they were got slaves.
I think, yeah, I think the Jund take slaves and kids and stuff and sell them to the to Mayax because they have like temple slaves who are sacrificed for things. They always need fresh kids because they're always running out of them. Although, as Sacco lets us know, Mayax just makes everyone in Aruk breed so they have fresh kids to burn every day.
So yeah, I don't see the connection. Why do the Jund care that they're like in this village? And then come and fight them.
They could have done a better job of combining Mayax and the Jund as far as villains. You know what I mean?
You're telling me the Beastmaster could have done a better job.
But as you mentioned that brings up another point that we haven't discussed at all. And to be honest, I don't know if it pops up in the movie prior to the scene, but let's talk about the Death.
Yeah, Stalkers. Death Guard.
Death Guard. Yes.
I forgot about them. Those guys were so scary when I was little. The scene where they get stuff poured in their ear and then big green leeches and then they just run around like leather daddy gimps is fucking
but
weird.
What was funny was they were like, oh yeah, they're torturing him. It's like they were just, all they were doing was holding his like chin.
Well, if
like,
those priests were holding your chin, it would be torture.
I mean, I could school them on torturing people is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean.
The Terra people... are good at that.
Right. The therapy. There's a reason your race is feared throughout the wastes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like one of them was chasing the ferret.
Well, the only one. Well, see, that's the question. Like, were there any Death Guards prior to this
yes.
Death Guard that we... Okay, I'm...
Remember when they're walking down the hall and then all of a sudden their hand, the gauntlets start coming out?
Oh, those were the Death Guards.
Yes.
Okay.
Tal says those are Death Guards.
Those looked... tiny.
Well, they're all.
Well, that's another
all
problem then with
the
this
thing.
Movie. Like, that's the only the Death Guards are introduced and they exit in this scene.
Yeah.
It seems,
and like they could have been used way more often. And
yeah
there's.
They had that scene of them running through the gauntlet
okay.
of the Death Guards
okay.
before they told us.
You guys
Death
convinced
Guards
me.
Were.
I will write the remake for the Beastmaster.
Thank you. That's all I'm asking.
Can we? Speaking of remake, can we talk about the sequel to this movie?
Through the Portal of Time.
Yeah, what the fuck is this movie? I just
well,
like
when you got to keep the budget low, you bring it to the modern world and call it a day.
I'm just gonna read like a quick synopsis here. I saw this on the Chattopedia before we met today. Beastmaster 2 Through the Portal of Time is the 1991 sequel to The Beastmaster. Mark Singer reprises his role as Dar, a barbarian from another dimension who travels to 1990s Los Angeles and befriends a young woman. Dar must stop his evil brother from bringing back a neutron bomb.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So Tal becomes evil? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it's Tal.
No, it's, the, it's not
I think
Tal.
It's just another.
It's worth mentioning for anyone who hasn't seen this. Tal, we find out, is the younger brother of Dar.
I believe. Oh,
it's a previous unknown half brother, Arklon.
Oh boy.
Oh my God! The Beastmaster is a 1959 science fiction novel by American writer Andre Norton.
Yeah, and the sci-fi, like, right. The original novel was like the post-apocalypse, I think, or like some sort of sci-fi setting. It wasn't fantasy.
Well, turns out I have a new quest, guys. I must hit the wastes and find. There's more than them. It goes the Beastmaster, Lord of Thunder, Beastmaster's Ark, Beastmaster's Circus, Beastmaster's Quest. Oh my God!
Where are you getting this information from?
The Chattopedia.
See, I prefer Beastmaster 2 through the Portal of Time. You see, it's much more closer to the original source material.
That sounds crazy. I want to see Beastmaster 2. Can we do that on the show one of these days?
I'll be honest. Yeah, we'll have a soft spot for movies that time travel or dimension hop to present day. Our time or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, man. And shit. There's a Beastmaster 3, The Eye of Braxis.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm looking at the cover right now, and it's incredible.
Yeah, that's the good shit.
Well, when we're getting into, we want to watch this. It seems like the show's winding down. Whenever we talk into, let's watch other movies.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Well, I think, is it safe to say we all recommend The Beastmaster?
I think to a certain type of person.
No caveats, Ryan. Just say it. Say you like the movie.
Yes. Recommend.
I liked it too. I think everyone should watch it. It'll teach you a lot about being friends with beasts, mastering beasts,
Terra people customs.
I think this is one of the best movies to watch if you're just looking for some tips on how to survive the waste.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's easily translatable to our world.
Is this the movie that led you to me?
Well, that's an interesting question, you know?
Were you saying you were turned on by the eagle people?
I didn't say anything of the sort, David. And she asked me a question.
I'm sorry, Dave, the fact you keep comparing
her cosmopolitan Terra heritage to these eagle bumpkins.
Yes, remember, these are the bumpkins of their race. I'm a much classier man, as you see. I search for the full Terra-faced race, not the flat-faced beak men. Those are disgusting.
Oh, man, HR is going to have my ass.
We don't have HR.
We know that HR is just right. You with a hat. We know that, David.
Yeah. Hyrule? Is that this HR?
Thing? Hyrule?
Hyrule? Because we have that.
Yeah.
Hyrule? They're the ones that pass judgment on people.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. HR is kind of like that, but really they don't do anything. They just like report to the people above them and say, hey, somebody's complaining.
Oh, management. Middle management.
Yeah, middle management. Okay. Yeah. That's Dave. Yeah.
Oh, it's just Dave with the hat. Yeah.
But yeah, as we know, it's Dave wearing a hat that says HR, and I'm pretty sure HR is written on it in like bleach pen. I don't know.
Well, it's written on in the blood of a former coworker.
All right. You know, I've learned a lot today. Maybe the Terra people aren't so bad.
Hey, do you guys have Navy SEALs?
Hey, welcome to Apocalypse Video.
God! Bullshit bomb!
Oh my God! Oh my God! The blood is everywhere!
Well, hey, it's been great catching up. We better go. See you guys around.
She just flew off with this guy's torso.
Dibs on a leg.
What?
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 Dar, I'm no threat to you.